Well, good morning, everyone. This is Mark the Prepper Guy, and today will be episode 42. And I want to talk a little bit about family and just some lighthearted things. And there are still reasons why we prep. So stick around.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road. Well, like I said, I wanted to talk about just some of the little things that pop up in my random access brain. Now, I was thinking about we've discussed many of the reasons why we prep. And for everyone, there's a different reason and a different fear or a different doomsday scenario. But we know that pretty much when anything hits the fan, it'll be because some yahoo in Washington has dropped the ball. Some ass clown somewhere has dropped a wrench in the mechanism and everything will crash and burn. And those are reasons why we would be glad that we are prepared. Just like you're always glad that you go to change your flat tire and you put on your spare and you're just so happy that there's actually air in it for a change. Well, that's why we prepare. But what are some of the reasons that we should be prepared? And I think setting aside just common sense and normal understanding of life and the things that it throws at us from day to day, I think it always should fall back on the fact that we have a family or we have people that we care about, including ourselves. And I've always, you know, thought to myself that of all the things I've done in life, all the fancy cars I had and all the businesses and everything I've done, they're pretty much all gone. I wrecked a few really good cars. They were totaled. And I've had to go bankrupt. I've moved out of neat houses that I've remodeled and put a lot of time into. But the one thing that seems to be the constant in my life is my family. As big of a pain in the ass that having four children was as I was growing up, and pretty much the stress levels of being able to provide for them and everything, they're still there. I haven't lost them. And for the most part, they all still really like me, which is totally cool. So when you think about it, your number one reason that you should always be prepared for whatever you're going to do would be for your family. And in all reality, it's a given that your family will always be the one asset that you'll always have. And therefore, it makes it important. If you look at your children at whatever age they're at right now, they still count on you. They still kind of look to you for maybe not leadership or advice, because as they get older, they don't want to hear that. But they look to you as an example. You will hear that as they grow up, that, well, Dad, you once said, or, well, Dad, I thought you said that was wrong, or you don't believe that. So they're watching us. They're always watching. When you get that feeling that someone's watching you, you're right. It's your kids and some agent from the NSA, but mostly it's your kids. And therefore, they're looking at you as an example. So, yeah, if you swear, they're going to swear. If you smoke, they're going to probably end up smoking someday. Because you're their prime hero. You're the goal. You're what they learn from through osmosis and will, whether they like it or not, assimilate your habits and become quite a bit like you. And we've all probably sat back and thought to ourselves, you know, my dad used to say, and then you go, oh, shit, I sound like my dad. I sound like my mother. Oh, my God. Yep, because that's what they are to us. They're the big chalkboard in life that we're always watching and seeing what's going on, what's doing there. So that is the reason that families are so important. And when I say family, I'm talking about the children aspect. And those that you stress out about and care for 24/7, even though there's times when you'd like to sell them into bondage and get rid of them and make a quick buck. You won't. It's fun to talk about. It might even be kind of fun to plan it and try to spend that money that you'll get on them from the black market. But you won't. because they'll always be there. And when you're 60, 70, whatever it is, when you're sick or don't feel good or you're going through tough times, they'll be the ones that you will want most to come around and say, how you doing? To get a phone call from and go, everything all right? Haven't heard from you for a while. When you're laying in a hospital bed and you open your eyes, you will always want to see your loved ones and your family first. Definitely not the doctor. So maybe I'm going to take this a little bit off track and talk about parenting, and you can pertain that or draw a conclusion from that into prepping and how it applies. But as a parent, my mom and my father got a divorce when I was young, I think 5, and she provided me with a handful of stepfathers over my life until I moved out at 17 or 18, whenever I could get a job and get out. And it was funny because I didn't have my father there, I had a father figure, and many of them were pretty good people. My mom drove them crazy, but that's what married couples do to each other. But if there was an argument or a side to be taken, if I had to make an alliance, it was always with my mother, because she was my mom and he was not my father. And when you think about that, it's kind of interesting, because if my mother and father would have been having an argument over the same thing and I had been older, I wouldn't have been able to make that snap judgment. I would have had to kind of weigh things out and use critical thinking as a child, which probably is part of the problem in society today. Because I wouldn't have been able to say, well, you're not my dad. Well, you're not my mom. See, I would have had to look at it and went, well, they're both my parents. What's the issue here? If I'm going to take a side, then which one should it be based on logic and reason and what they're arguing about? Or should I just remain neutral because they're my parents and that's what parents do and the argument doesn't affect me? So as I grew up, though I had father figures in my life, when it got down to the family dynamics of it, I didn't have a father in the home to where I could turn to him and go, why were you and mom arguing, and understand it from his point of view, because he was my father. I hadn't made that decision that he was not, and therefore whatever he has to say is wrong because mom said so. So if you think about it, it is a problem in society, because even though they will tell you that it's not important to have a family and to have the actual mother and father in the home, that thinking is flawed, and the reasoning that they use doesn't take into a factor the way a child looks at things and how he develops and grows in thinking and critical thinking and making decisions about what side of the argument he will be on, because that's been removed. And that might seem kind of abstract and cranial or philosophical, but that is how children grow up. I learned a lot from my stepfathers. I learned how to buy and sell things, how to work on gas motors, how to keep my go-kart running, and all of that. So that was key to me, and it really helped me develop as a man and to know how to do guy things, because they were guys. They were good at it, and they were like I said, they were good people. One of them was a real jackass, and the other one, he was okay. But I missed out on that family unit thing. So I never knew how it was in a household with two parents of the same children and how that dynamic works out in the long run. And even though I could fall back on the experiences from my stepfather of what a man should be like, I could never learn that part of male assertiveness or sure-footedness in an argument, because no matter if he was right or wrong, in my book, he was not my father, so he was wrong, and you were upsetting my mother, and I didn't get to dig into the details. So that's just kind of a side note on the importance of a family unit. Now, if you're like me, and even as I was, and got a divorce and really screwed things up, then that's the way it is. We've already put our children in that position. And so we need to try to be with our children more in outings and stuff if we're divorced and we have kids, and you really need to be there, as sucky as it sounds, to help your ex and their new partner be good parents, because they're parenting your children. And like I've said, your children are the most important thing, and they will be the only thing left at the end of the day. And no matter how much you achieve, you can't take it with you, and you can't take them with you either. But at that moment when you're down and out, it won't be your good friends. It won't be anyone there with you to go, how you doing? Do you need a hand? As well as your children will be, because they do care, even though we're assholes and we might have driven them away in life and all that. They still care. Just like no matter how upset you got at your parents and ran away from home at 15 and never talked to them, there's that blood. There's that, I don't know if it's a chemical or a biological or some kind of atom electron magic, but they will always be important to you. And that's what you want to foster in your children, that you're not the big bad a-hole that's always yelling and punishing and being a jerk. You're that guy, whether you're still with your wife and or husband and you haven't gotten a divorce, or you're now on the outside looking in, you want to be that friend of theirs. And I always got in a lot of trouble for saying I'm my kids' friends, because they're like, well, they don't need a friend, they need a parent. Well, I never advocated my role as a parent. I just wanted to be the friend that they could talk to when they had a real problem. I'm not the friend that says, hey, let's all go get drunk and drive off a cliff and wreck our car and fall through the ice. See, those are other kinds of friends. So just like in love, there's different kinds of love. There's different kinds of friendship. And if you can be your child's friend and remain a parent, then you've pulled off some magic there. Because then when there's an issue and something comes up with one of your children, they can turn to you and go, I know you're going to be mad, but I went out and bought a new car, and I know me and my wife are kind of struggling, but I was thinking that it would look good for business, and I'm trying to get my business going. And they'll talk to you about it, because I would rather be the person they talk to about whatever it is that's bothering them than the bartender that they will talk to that is just a sounding board. And if you can be a parent that can help kind of nudge them along their path, then, and you're their friend, then you're always close enough to them to where you can kind of go, hey, buddy, this trail. Hey, look out, there's a rock there. Don't trip and twist an ankle. See, you're not the dominant one that's like, damn it, I've told you 100 times to watch where you're going. Because then they're going to grow up and go, well, dad was never any use, even though dad was a lot of use and you were trying to teach them, but they just tuned you out like a commercial. So I don't know if much of that makes sense, because it's more of a philosophical rant. And I just kind of wanted to maybe explain that, yes, in prepping, there are millions of reasons why each of the millions of people prep, and they have their own fear and their own doomsday scenario. But the underlying reason should be to survive and not die. And when you step back and look at any situation, you don't want to die. And those people with you that we call family, you don't want them to get hurt or die either. And that's one of the biggest reasons. So it doesn't matter what happens. That is the group that you must protect and make sure they don't die, they don't go hungry, they're not too thirsty, they don't get heat stroke. These are all the many, many, many reasons that we will want to learn skills in prepping, so that you can always provide them shelter, food, and water, because they're your family.
Our online store, DoomsdayDepot.com, that's Doomsday with a Z as in Zoom, lets you zoom into products selected by a prepper for preppers. Don't get lost looking for the supplies you need. Find them and great values too at our online store. And you can always learn more at ThePrepperGuy.com too.
So I was talking to my oldest boy, speaking of children, and he's into writing. He has a very successful business, but he just always tinkers around with writing books and stories and stuff. So I told him that he should go on Amazon because you can actually publish your own book right through their website, and it doesn't cost you nothing. So he said he would look into it, and then that meant that he would probably put it off. So I looked into it and was checking it out and thought, oh, well, I have a Prime membership, and I also have an affiliate account, so if I click this button, I'm all set up. So I did. And then it said, design your first book cover. So I did that. And then it said, download a file. So I had some Word documents, and I uploaded those or downloaded them. And then it said, click save and continue. And I clicked save and continue, and bam, it published my book. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not done. So I unpublished it. And then I thought, well, that was actually pretty damn cool. So what I did is I took my last podcast that had a free PDF, which was quite simply just a quick pamphlet or review of surviving an EMP, and actually turned it into about 36 pages of really good information on maybe more about surviving the chaos after an EMP, because we will all survive the EMP unless we have a pacemaker or in an airplane or something and the EMP shuts everything off. But if you're just like an average person driving to work or something, the blast from an EMP is not going to, you're not even going to hear it or see it or feel it, other than everything will quit. So I put together a pretty cool little book, and then I published that, and then it's now on Amazon. So if you want to go check it out, it's Would You Survive an EMP by Mark the Prepper Guy on Amazon, and it's only $2.99. because it is short, and it's my first venture into authorship. But I think it would be cool if you like reading those things. I think I have it set up to where if you are a Prime member and you have a Kindle device, that you may be able to get it for free. But I would like some reviews, is mainly what I'm saying. $2.99, if all of my raving fans bought it, would be cool. But really what I'd like is for people to read it and give me some pointers. I'm not a writer, but I'm trying to learn because it's kind of interesting, and I kind of enjoyed it and the whole process of actually putting it together. So go check that out. That's my sponsored break by me, for me. And I just go to Amazon in the books. I don't know how you find it, but the title is Will You Survive an EMP by Mark the Prepper Guy. And at least check it out. I would totally appreciate it. If you do read it, reviews would be cool. That always is helpful. Don't be a dick. If you think it really sucks, just email me at markprepperguy and tell me how bad I failed at Composition 101. So anyway, what I was rambling about before was family and the importance of it. And that was just basically some of my philosophy on children and how we were raised maybe as parents and all of that. But I kind of want to branch into what I was talking about with my new book, which I don't even know if I can call it a book because it's, like I say, only 30 some pages, but it's bigger than a pamphlet. So I don't know. When I was writing it, I took it in the direction of, yeah, you're going to survive the blast from an EMP unless there's just certain medical things or something like that are wrong with you. Mainly pacemakers are susceptible to that, and that's probably the older ones. I'm not sure on the new technology. If you're in an airplane or in a dangerous position to where when the power goes out, you're screwed, then that's something that you can't prepare for. Or if you're in an ICU unit or something in the hospital, those will be shut down because even the backup generators will not work because they're fried. Now, a lot of hospitals have ways of mitigating that too, so you might be okay and get out and recover. But what happens in the long term is what I thought was really kind of a good exercise for me, because we all know through our studies in prepping and end of the world scenarios that pretty much the hardest thing, because quite literally, I mean, if you went back in time, you jumped in a time machine and went back 100 years or even 1,000 years, the human body existed back then, or we wouldn't be around today. So there was food, there was water, there was shelter, there were all the same things that we require today. The hardest part would be the survival long term. And most of that would be from interacting with the people that you're going to come into contact with, and then your mindset. So if you have a crappy mindset, you could die while you're out camping because you're an idiot and you just cry about everything. In an EMP, you're not going to be able to post your sadness on Facebook or tweet about it because all that's gone. So a lot of people are going to be kind of losing it and losing their mind because their mindsets are not around the fact that they're going to survive. They just forget, and there are people that think they can't survive if they don't check their social media status every 10 minutes. So you're going to be running into those people, and you don't want to become one of them people. The minute it happens, you're going to need to be able to go, okay, this is now the new normal. My normalcy bias must be as dead as my electronics now, because there is no more normalcy. We'll still be normal. We'll still need to eat and drink and have shelter, but I'm not going to be able to use all the gadgets that I once had and had become so comfortable with. So that'll be one thing that will be clicking around inside of your head, and that's something that you must figure out and get over if you want to survive, long term after that kind of thing. And it's a given fact that 90% of Americans will die in the first year after an EMP because mainly of starvation and pretty much crazy people, murder, and then just all the, lead poisoning and then mental sickness and everything. So there will be a mass kill off just because of nature. And so eventually the people you're going to be running into is going to get less and less. So you just need to survive that first year, and things will start normalizing again, because out of chaos comes order. So you'll be okay if you don't, lose your mind. But how do you deal with the people that you will come across that are not going to be okay? They're going to be hungry. They're going to be watching their children starve to death, maybe. And they're not going to be very rational. And because of that, you're going to have to make quick decisions. So I think my homework for this podcast is that you need to sit down and start running scenarios through your head. And I talk about this in the book, that what would I do if this? It's kind of the if this, then that kind of situation. And it's like in a dream when you wake up and you're like, oh, that sucked. I woke up because I was a millionaire. For that moment, your whole construct of your life in a visual way in a dream was that way. If you can do that while you're awake and go, if I stumble across a crazy person that's losing his mind, he's not rational, and obviously there's good reasons because maybe his children died or something. How do you diffuse that situation? How do you handle that situation? And how do you not allow him to be a threat to you and your family will have to be decided. And you don't want to be the person that just shoots everything that moves, because that's not who you are. But you won't know who you are until you really think about it. But you also don't want to be the person that will allow two or three people to intimidate you or take your stuff because you're afraid to act. Because actions require very decisive, no hesitation action. And there's a lot of examples in a lot of the military field manuals that describe and deal with psychology of violence. And technically, you have to counterattack immediately. If somebody comes into your tent holding a gun, you can't sit there and debate with them. You need to be able to just attack full on instantly. And you might not want to be that person either, because you like to be rational and think things out and maybe negotiate. So these scenarios have to be worked out. So I don't want people reading the book or listening to things I say and going, well, I would never be that way. Then you might end up dead. So are there reasons in life, in real life, that would force you to be that person? And then you can look at it and go, well, yeah, if someone was literally threatening my life, I would defend myself. Well, then there are situations where you would be that way. And what I'm saying is learn those situations, try to live them visually in your mind and think about them and go, oh, well, if I did that, I would feel awful. Oh, well, then maybe you need to modify that reaction. And it's just a mental sparring kind of exercise to where you can narrow down how you would react and how you would not react. And why you must react certain times and why you must not react in certain times. So, like I say, it's only a 30-some page book, but that is the main focal point is all things being aside, whether it's an EMP or a social collapse or an economic collapse or a pandemic that causes a collapse, there's so many things that can cause and be that trigger effect to where you are now facing people. And I guess that is the main thing that you need to take away from the book, this podcast, and just the way you think in life, because we all have decisions that we have to make. And you might watch a movie and go, why did that person in the movie do that? That was so stupid. Why did the girl go down in the basement when the power's out and you know there's a killer out there because you know, but they've never really thought about, oh, why the hell would I go into the basement when the power's out? You know, it's like, well, I'm going to go find the breakers and see if they flipped off. No, just look out the window and go, yeah, everyone's power's out. I'm not going to go there. But you don't know these things unless you create the scenarios in your mind, kind of like a simulator machine or a movie or a video game, to where you put it in your head, you think about it, you try to get as close to the situation as you can and go, oh, there's no way in hell I would do that. But if this guy did that, yeah, I would. Because see, you need to know if a person comes into your camp, is going to shoot you and you shoot them first, that was self-defense. But what if they come into your camp and want to steal all your food? Is that not self-defense? Because the minute you don't have food and water, you're going to starve to death and die in a bad world. It puts you out there to where now you got to go foraging among the crazy people again. And there's a reason why he came to you and robbed you, because there's nothing out there that he could find. So you don't want to put yourself in that position. So would you react? Would you pull that trigger? I mean, a lot of people would go, yeah, hell yeah. But a lot of people go, no, I would try to reason with them. You're the only one that can decide how you want to live your life and how after the EMP, what kind of person you will see in the mirror. Did you act justly, fairly, responsibly, but protectively? And did you do it in a proper manner? Because you watch any Western, you know, those people live pretty good lives without electricity. There were still bad people out there, and there were still good people out there. And I think, you know, from the lessons of Wyatt Earp when he was a sheriff, he never really had to draw his gun or shoot people in that world. Which you would watch Western and go, well, God, everybody was shooting everyone. It was a cowboy movie. God. No. See, he had found a way to know when he would and when he would not draw his gun and shoot someone. So you can be that person to where you're still a good person. You're still not a wimp. You're not an idiot, and you're not being used or put together and cheated. But you're still not the person that would rather shoot first and then figure it out later if he was friend or foe. So that's the whole book review from me. Of course, I wrote it, and I think it's awesome. But I think this kind of ties into my first original thoughts, is I had lost the ability to really rationalize problems, arguments, disagreements between my parents, because I was always biased toward the one that was my real parent. If I would have had both parents, I would have had to think more, decide more, and actually use critical thinking. And so this is the world we live in now, where families are more dysfunctional than they are functional these days. And therefore, you may be like me, one of those people that if you really think about it, you were raised maybe by a father figure, but you never got to see your real parents interact as a child and be forced to think things out. And that's what helps us to learn to think, just like anything else that children do. So all of the superficial things I could learn from a stepfather, how to pound boards together, how to build a doghouse, how to fix my car. But the things that have to do with emotions and critical thinking, especially dealing with people, I was always biased. And in a situation where you're in survival, then you will always be highly biased toward your family, obviously. But you might not be as quick to look at it and go, oh, well, this is my problem. It's not my problem. I'm on this person's side, because that makes a lot of sense. Not trying to crap on you, Dad, but I think Mom's right. Or not trying to undermine your authority, Mom, but Dad had a good point. Now, you'd never say that to a parent, because you'd end up grounded no matter whose side you took. But it was a learning process that I missed out on. And 90% of the people you come in contact with in life nowadays, you can tell that they're not really carrying the thought process deep enough to really come up with something. And that's why we have so much division and stuff, because people can't look at things and go, well, if it's a no-win situation, because both these people are important to me, how do I get past it? How do I figure it out? How do I resolve it? So kind of a light podcast today, even though it's steeped in philosophy and all that stuff, and it's gonna, you're gonna probably listen to it and go, what the hell is he talking about again? But I just kind of wanted to try to just discuss some things that really I think became very in the forefront of my mind while I was writing this thing this weekend, this book, and it really made me think a lot of, like, oh shit, how would I react in that situation? Because self-defense is easy. It's a split-second decision, and you will defend yourself. But when you take it to the next level and go, would I bring a person into my camp that looks harmless, is hungry, and put my family at jeopardy, and then allow them to steal my food and my water and my means of survival, or hurt my family? And where would I draw the line? So maybe that's why it was all in there. And then that's pretty much it. I could probably go on and try to draw some other conclusions, but I think you get it. So they are connected, the first part and the second part. It all has to do with family, and that is why we prepare, because we love our family, even if we really don't most of the time. We kind of do, maybe. Anyway, have a great day.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel. Every once in a while I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end of the world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.